stop arguing with a therapist if that's been the issue, whatever the treatment.
Resistant OCD and generalized anxiety disorder. Today we're talking with Dr. Alec Pollard at the St. Louis Behavioral Medicine Institute and St. Louis University. Dr. Pollard, let me ask you the first question. What is treatment resistance?
Well, to understand treatment resistance, the concept, because the word has been used in different ways over the years, but in today's current vernacular, treatment resistance is when a patient engages in behavior that is not consistent with effective participation in therapy. And that's to be distinguished from treatment refractory, treatment resistant versus treatment refractory. Treatment refractory is when a person has fully engaged in the treatment, done everything right, participated fully, and still is not getting better. That's treatment refractory. Treatment resistance has to do with reacting to the treatment in some way, maybe not fully participating, doing some of the work, not all of it, or engaging in behaviors that are counterproductive.
Is treatment resistance willful, or is it symptomatic of an anxiety disorder or some other disorder, or does it run the gamut?
Definitely not willful in the sense that a patient is never trying to ruin their treatment or not get better. So it's always driven by other behaviors, other mechanisms such as anxiety or misinformation, or sometimes they're missing some skill deficits, or they have motivational issues that certainly aren't done on purpose. So it's really driven by forces that are really not directly in their control.
Does treatment resistance happen at any time during treatment, or does it typically appear at predictable points during treatment?
Well, it can appear really from the beginning. And in fact, you can think of treatment resistance in its pure form being not seeking treatment at all. So many of the treatment resistors we don't see in the first place. But those who have some motivation or some interest may show up, but the treatment-resistant behavior, which we call treatment-interfering behavior, can show up very early. They can be sort of telling the therapist what they're not going to do, or arguing, or saying, I heard these wild things about therapy, or showing up late, not showing at all, or having someone else call for them. Yeah, that's a red flag when they don't make the phone call to establish the therapy. But many patients appear treatment compatible, ready to go in treatment, and the treatment-resistant behavior doesn't really emerge till the therapy gets difficult, starts to get anxiety-provoking, and then you start to see some of those behaviors emerge at that point.
Do particular disorders, anxiety disorders, make some people more prone to resistance?
I don't think there's a particular disorder that is synonymous with resistance, but some disorders may tend to have a higher percentage of resistance. But I think what unites the disorders that have more resistance is a lack of recognition that there's a problem. There are certain kinds of problems that some people are more likely to feel is what's called egosyntonic, which is a fancy word for meaning that they think they're the right thing to do. So, for example, hoarding is very often a problem, that compulsive hoarding that has high resistance, and it's usually a family member bringing them in, sort of forcing them to come in, because they don't see it as a problem. Now, everyone else who has to deal with the clutter may see it as a problem, but they don't. So there are certain problems that where resistance tends to be more synonymous with, but really any anxiety disorder can be accompanied by resistance.
And as a therapist, how do you address and overcome treatment resistance in patients?
Well, some therapists are very impatient with resistance, and I suppose in the worst case scenario, may ask the patient to leave or terminate therapy. But I think most therapists understand that resistance is part of the deal, and that they need to learn how to manage it diplomatically. Most resistance can be handled without any major strategies, except sort of managed along the way, as you continue to try to treat the anxiety disorder. However, in some cases, the resistance is so strong that you actually have to stop the treatment of the anxiety disorder and work on the resistance issues for a while until you get some improvement in behavioral terms, a reduction in the treatment interfering behavior. So translated, they start showing up on time, if that's been the issue. They stop arguing with a therapist, if that's been the issue. Whatever the treatment-resistant behavior is eliminated, and then we go back and reinitiate the treatment of the anxiety disorder. Now, that's in the more severe cases of resistance.
Okay. Are there any areas of research in treatment resistance that you would like to see undertaken, or anything that you would like to see mental health professionals look further into?
Absolutely. This is a really important area for the future. You know, with our evidence-based treatments, in fact, it's only because we have evidence-based treatments that we can talk intelligently about treatment resistance. Because if you don't have a treatment that's been well established and somebody resists it, that seems reasonable if to resist a treatment that isn't established. So it's having these evidence-based treatments and then identifying those who resist or don't respond to those treatments, and now trying to develop strategies to help these individuals recover. So I think a future challenge for us is to develop evidence-based treatments for resistance. and because right now most of the things we're doing with resistance is fairly experimental, meaning that we don't have double-blind controlled studies showing this resistance management strategy is better than this one. So we're using strategies that we certainly have clinical support, but not the big studies yet. So I think we really, with the exception of, say, motivational interviewing, which is an attempt to really help people identify their motivation for treatment, that has some pretty good studies on it, although only recently being applied to anxiety disorders. But other than that, there's not many strategies that are well established. So we really have a long way to go to research these strategies and find the best strategies to help folks who are unfortunate enough to have an anxiety disorder and an extra problem of resistance issues.
Thank you, Dr. Pollard, and this is Jean Kaplan-Tycro for ADAA.